If you've got a Bible this morning, turn with us, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, just for a sort of a taking-off place. I've got a lot of things to cover this morning. I'm going to try to teach through some thoughts I want to share with you. I hope that it'll be a help and a blessing to where we live at. And it doesn't do us any good if we don't preach where we are. But I'm glad that God knows exactly where we are this morning. And I want you to look up here and realize something. I've just not pulled a text in order to preach something. I have many outlines I could be preaching. But I feel that God's pressed this on my heart, and it's going to hurt some of us. And but you know, truth always hurts. And I don't like constructive criticism. My wife says, well, I tell you the truth, and you don't like it. Well, it's not so much I don't like it, I don't enjoy it. And but I can't get better till I hear the truth. And you're not going to get any better till two things happen. Number one, somebody's got to show you truth. And then number two, you got to apply truth. And just because you've heard preaching don't mean it's going to help you. You've got to apply preaching. The Bible said in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, in verse 26, he says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. A lot of folks is trying to stamp out Christianity. But let me tell you something, honey. You're not going to stamp out what I got. The Bible said, then said Mary the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you today. And so we want to thank you for who you are, as Brother Lee has done said. Thank you that you are a God that we can pray to, a God, Lord, that cares, a God that hears, a God that can. Thank you so much. Lord, as we start this series here in our church, I pray for the breath of God. Would you breathe upon us? Would you send us that we need? And God, would you wouldn't let me get involved one word? But would you speak through me today? Try to yield myself as your servant. God, that may be a blessing to the people this morning. Help us. Give us truth of the Word of God. Give me boldness to deliver it. I pray for power and unction this morning like only you can give. Thank you for these people and this good church. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning I'm interested in the home. If it's ever been a time that America is in trouble in the home, it is this morning. If there's ever been a time when our church is in trouble concerning the home, it is this morning. I want to talk a few things today on the oppositions of the home. Now, by the grace of God, me and my wife have been married 33 years, and it's not always been easy. But I sure am glad that I met God early in our life. And He's taken us through many hard places and many struggles. There's so many of us here today, I believe we're really confused about what a home is. I think we're confused in childbearing. I think we're confused in child raising. I think that we're confused to think. I think that We're crippled too high for crutches if we think this, that our church is only going to be as strong as our homes are. It'll never be no stronger than what our homes are to be. If we're going to have a strong church, we have to have a strong family unit, a strong family foundation. There's many oppositions that's coming against our homes today in our country. Even in our little town of Bowdoin, Georgia, there are many oppositions that face us as a family unit. Don't take you long to read the newspapers or see the media to find out that the devil has unleashed a great attack on our homes. Now, I want to say, first of all, 41% of all marriages in the United States end in divorce. 41%. Young people, listen to your preacher this week. I want you to really be clued in on me for the next 3 weeks. I want you to bring your notebooks. I want you to pen some things, because there's some things in the Word of God you're going to need later on in life. Mom and daddies, I encourage you to pull out pen and paper for the next few weeks and take some notes down. And I encourage you after this, maybe in the back of your notepad, would you maybe list 4 or maybe just 3 simple things that you need to work on in your life? And after this series is over, I wish you would list those 3 things in order that you feel like you need as a Christian, as a husband or a wife, that would help you at your home. Now, young people, if 4 out of 10 marriages fail, then there are many odds against you to make it in a marriage life. Mom and daddies, if 4 out of 10 marriages fail, that means that there are 4 key areas that are so susceptible to the devil in our lives that he can approach us and tear down the stronghold of the home. Now, we notice that 41% of first marriages fail. The statistics show that 60% of second marriages fail. 73% of third marriages fail. In America, there's 1 divorce every 13 seconds. That's 6,646 divorces per day. 46,523 marriages divorce weekly in the United States of America. The average length of marriage in our country ends at 8 years. So if you've been married 5 years and 6 years, you say, well, Pastor, everything's going good, please listen. If you've been married 25 years, please listen. Please, don't go to sleep at the wheel. Listen. The home in America, I believe, is the number one problem of our day. Never in history of mankind has the home been under such a great attack as it is in this decade. The home is under attack from many segments of our society. The social world is trying to completely destroy the fiber of our society by doing away with marriage and the biblical concept of the home. The sodomite movement of our society is trying to destroy the biblical concept of the home and family living by their demands for same-sex marriage. Every home breakup is accompanied with many heartbreaks. The companions, the children, the church, and its community, and its country, all suffer when the home is broken. I know there are things that come up. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I know some of you have been dealt some hard things in life. You had to make some decisions that you had to do. Aren't you glad that God let you pick up and keep moving on for the grace of God? But this morning, the opposition of our home, number one, I'd like to say, is religion or humanism. This is basically the philosophy that man is his own God. We have a lot of that in America. They say, well, we don't need a King James Bible anymore. We don't need that thing of church or religion. But this is basically the religion of humanism. It's basically the philosophy that man is his own God, that he can do what he pleases. And it's no one else's business. Man has kicked out God because he wanted no absolutes and no authorities over him. Man has tried to become his own final authority by developing an attitude of denial toward God and an open door for man to do whatever he pleases. In Judges 17, in verse number 6, I'll give you some scripture here today. He simply says this, in those days there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want to say something. Look up here this morning. There's been times that I wanted to do what was right in my own eyes, but it didn't line up with this Bible, so I better chunk it. There's been times I wanted to get behold somebody and get me in a lot of trouble, but this Bible denies that kind of living. There's been times, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to go out in the world and do some things I used to do, but this Bible discourages that kind of lifestyle. Now we live in a country, we live in a community, we live in a town, and many times we live in a church where people feel like they don't need God and they do what's right in their own eyes. That's why it's so important we know what this book says today. You see, I believe one of the greatest oppositions to the home is that of religion, of humanism. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Number two, I believe another great attack of the home, not only in religion of humanism, but I believe the media and the entertainment world is a great opposition to our home. When I was a young kid, we didn't have the things that our kids, I started to say blessed with, but maybe cursed with today. You see, we rode a bicycle everywhere we went. There was no obese children. We all worked. It wasn't 5 Mountain Dews and 10 Snicker bars. You rode to the store and picked up cold drink bottles on the way, got 3 cents apiece, had them in your basket, got down there and got you a knee-high drink for a nickel. Somebody say amen. And got you a Snicker bar for another nickel. Some of you young'uns look at me like, this is so boring. Well, some folks remember where we was. See, the media entertainment world, we're being bombarded from every aspect of media. Bombarded with anti-Christian and anti-family propaganda. The news media is controlled by left-wing liberals. They make me want to puke. You take Wolf Blitzer, he's the biggest liberal on TV. There's a man the other day that no longer let the Boy Scouts meet in their church in Atlanta, Roswell, Georgia. My hand goes out to that fundamental pastor that's trying to stand for what's right. They brought him on CNN. They had this old liberal gal pastoring the church, which biblically she's unqualified to do. And therefore, they was not trying to find the pros or the biblical concept of why he wouldn't allow that in their church anymore. And there she is saying, oh, just come on, we love everybody. Sort of just like, see, there's no standards, no morals left even in our churches this morning. Thank God for some men of God still stand up and say, what thus saith the Word of God. And there CNN crucified our pastor friend in Roswell, Georgia. Tried to make him out to be the bad guy. Let me tell you something this morning before this sermon gets any further. We, the preachers of America that's standing on this book, didn't write this book. We just stand on it and read it real loud for the glory of God. I have no apologies of what this book says. I've had to apologize the way I've said it sometime. But I've never apologized for what thus saith the Word of God. And this morning, we find this propaganda coming about us in media. Boy, our left-wing liberal stations, they're always crucifying those that want to stand for the right of our country. The entertainment world is pumping our homes full of Hollywood lifestyles and drugs, drink perversion and violence. You say, how are they doing that? The devil's found a great inroad. We used to laugh about these preachers talking about TVs being a one-eyed devil. Let me tell you, they didn't miss it much, neighbor. In Ephesians 6, verse number 12, here you'll find the devil's made an inroad in media. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil's found an inroad in media. And boy, he is alive. And well, I have a computer in my home. It's amazing to me when I'm studying Bible programs on the internet, what flashes up to try to get me to click on one. And you listen to me, mom and daddies. You listen to me, men. You listen to me, young children. One click on a bad place may change your life for a whole lifetime.
And it won't be a good time. It'll be something that the devil can put his hooks in you, pornography, and you'll never flush that out of your system as long as you live. You may get saved, but your mind will always play rewind of the things you've seen, the things you've done, and things you've been in a former life. I wish my mind was saved, but it's not. So the devil, there's spiritual wickedness in high play. He's a strategist. The devil's like a chess game. He sets everything and he positions things and he positions people. Now he's used the media to infiltrate our homes in ways like it's never done. You wonder how come homes in America 50 years ago were so strong? Because the media was not in the home. Isn't it amazing? You never see about anybody getting saved on TV. You ever thought about that? Everything's so negative, or they're trying to crucify somebody standing on the Word of God. Oh, they'll show you the killings and the murders, but you don't hear nothing like happened down in Livingston, Louisiana last week where three precious souls got saved by the grace of God and a man surrendered to preach. You don't hear none of that on CNN. Hello! Wake up, America! You see, these great oppositions, they're bombarding our home. They promoted pumping in our homes a full Hollywood lifestyle, drugs, drink, perversion, and violence. The rock music crowd is pumping this generation full of violence, drug, and illicit sex. On the phone in that chapel out there on this church property, there was a man called me from Bremen, Georgia, and said this. We would like to invite your church to a Christian rock concert. There's no such thing. Rock's out of hell. We're like that frog. Been put in a boiling bath and turned up just a little bit at a time where nothing matters. Christian rock. What in the name of the Lord is somebody think? You say, well, you can't reach young people, old-fashioned religion. Hey, I know a church or two still trying. Banging, knocking, ain't saying nothing. Got vibes, all right, but vibes from another world. You ought to be standing up against your young'uns and you ought to be listening to what they listening to. It's your responsibility. Rock music's full of violence, drug, illicit sex, and rebellion. This hip-hop crowd, them boys need to get a belt for their britches and put a V in their cap. Somebody say amen. The printed page. Even most family-rated materials filled with pornographic material. Then there's the multi-billion-dollar business of pornography that's polluting the minds of many people today. The television itself has been used by the devil to corrupt the minds and morals more than anything else. It's robbed us of prayer and Bible reading in our homes, purity in our hearts, and power in the house of God. It's robbed us of family togetherness, family training, and family time. It's made heroes of athletes and actors who lavish in sinful practices. Satan has used the computer to compute many evils and pitfalls to our nation and culture. Ephesians 5 and verse number 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You must be goofy if you think somebody's tractor sexy. You listen to the country stars. Achy, breaky heart, she's left me. A tear in my beer. Before long you'll be doing what they do. And Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. And you listen to me, church, and you listen real good this morning. I stood up over there weeping two Sunday nights ago and I asked you to be patient with me. But I want to inform you I've got new direction from headquarters. God has showed me what I'm to do from here on out. I'm to do what it took to build this ministry, and that's preaching. And I have done purpose in my heart to do this. We've got a purpose either to have a church or a crowd. Thank God our wing's full this morning. Yes, I believe God will give us another wing before I end this place. This ministry, I believe God's going to give that to us. I believe God's going to save many more. I believe God's going to call more young men to preach the gospel of the glorious grace of God. But you hear me and you hear me well. I'm not a politician and I'm nobody's puppet. The God that called me that I surrendered back over yonder in them woods about 4 miles through this church, He has not changed, and I don't intend on getting on the bus with my head down. I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be mean-spirited, but I'm going to tell you how the cow eats the cabbage, and it's up to you whether you do it or not. Because, honey, when I get you under, I'm going to give an account of what I failed you these 20 years. And I think I'll take my chances with Him instead of you. I've had to stand against some hard things as pastor of this church. But I've stood to have you a place to go to church, and I've stood to have your children a place to go to church. And I've stood to have my family a place to go to church. And I don't tend on backing off nothing I'm doing or that I've done. Glad He called me to preach the glorious gospel. I hold the greatest position of the land. If I was president of the United States today, I'd take a step back from where I am today, Brother Jerry Driver. A preacher, God called to tell people what this book said. What an opportunity. What a day to serve Jesus. I've always said this. If our church would just do what this book says, do not go to entertainment. If we just preach and love people and love each other, we'd have something to offer to a community that not many churches have to offer. Everybody else has went to the media, the propagandas of the world to try to draw a crowd. Why don't we preach and love each other and let God build a church? Because unless He build the house, it will fall. I thank the Lord I didn't build that. That's His payments. You see, our culture is diminishing at an all-time rate. I think the third thing that's really coming against our homes, it's not only the religion of humanism and that of media and entertainment. And let me part right here just a minute. If I took a poll today versus 50 years ago, how much Bible time in a church this size was implemented this week versus TV time and put it on this projector screen, it would be astounding. And we wonder why we're so weak. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, it's quiet this morning. But I can tell you one thing, the reason our forefathers' homes were so stable, so cemented, kids were being raised right, because it was 20 hours of Bible reading and family devotions instead of 25 hours of TV in our day. Would somebody help me preach this morning? Number three, rebellious attitudes. We have school teachers here in this ministry. I'm praying God would send us a doctor and some good saved lawyers. Somebody say amen. There's a spirit of rebellion like we've never experienced before. You school teachers can write me a sermon on this. And I'll go a little bit further. You Sunday school teachers can write me a sermon on this. Quiet. There's a spirit of rebellion like we've never experienced before. Rebellion has filled our educational system and our entire society in an unbelievable manner. We have children rebelling against parents, companions rebelling against their spouses. Citizens rebelling against public officials. Church members rebelling against their pastors. Now we're seeing that rebellion is turning into hatred and hatred turning into crime. Everyone wants their own way, and if he does not get it, he has a rebellious heart and cries out for vengeance and retaliation. These police officers in our church, you ask them what they see in disrespect to their office. Young kids, it's still right to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am. It's still right to mind your father and your mother, for this is right. We should be teaching our children to respect authority. Your pastor is not on a first name basis. It ought to be brother or pastor or preacher. You ought to honor the sacred desk in which he stands. And if anybody's putting their mouth on your preacher, you ought to tell them to hush. You ought to say, go see him about it, not me. It's your problem, not my problem. I ain't got a dog in that hunt. Some of you need to get some guts back and some glue in your britches. The devil's going to take you to church. You better stand up. Be what God's called you men to be. Amen. You think this sermon's straight? You wait till next week. I'm going to let you men know what God expects out of us. Because I'm afraid none of us know very much about what this book tells us to be. You see, when a school teacher, when somebody comes up and spits in their face, you know what would have happened if that would have happened in 1968 when I was in the first grade? They was a principal. He'd have crossed your eyes. I remember, I always wanted to be the clown of the class. You know, we had pencil sharpeners then up on the wall. So I asked the teacher if I'd go sharpen my pencil. She said, yeah, well, my little buddy was out in the hall. Done been sent out in the hall. He got caught. I didn't. And I was there sharpening my pencil, and she turned her back to me, and I undone that pencil sharpener, and I was going to throw them shavings on my little buddy in the hall around the door. And when I did, I noticed I hit something solid, and I looked, and there was the principal. He said, see you in my office. He taught me shavings go in a garbage can, not in the hallway on the principal's shiny shoes. And this is the thing about it back then, before media happened and cell phones or emails came in. My daddy knowed about it before I got off the school bus. It's just amazing how kind of media they had way back yonder. Now he'd say, boy, I'll meet you back yonder in a minute. And I hope I can help you in 2 weeks on child discipline. I've got to apologize to one of my kids for what God has showed me, what I've done. Kids, has got to be disciplined. It demands to be disciplined. They need structure. Matter of fact, daddies, your children are counting on you to discipline. Before I go any further this morning, has anybody ever heard a sermon like this in the school system? Your children are not taught these Bible principles no more in school. The teacher's hands are tied. It's not we don't have teachers that want to be a blessing and do right. It's they can't. You ask these officers in our building this morning what they've seen on our streets in rebellion. And let me tell you something. If you don't love your kid enough to discipline and love them and be there for them, they're going to be at places that you don't want them to be. Your children don't belong in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at 11 o'clock with them thugs.
rebellion. Boy, we're seeing rebellion like we've never seen it. Fourthly, liberal divorce laws. Never before has it been as easy to get a divorce as today. Young people, listen to you, preacher. Many couples marry today with a mindset, if it don't work out, then get a divorce. The philosophy today is, if you can't get along, get loose. No, get quiet on me. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife, we've had struggles, spats. She threw a banana one time. Praise God, it wasn't an apple sitting there. But you young kids have got to realize you're not going to marry nobody perfect. And it do you good for your older people that's sitting here under your pastor this morning. You hear me? Somebody God's put in your life to show you what's right. And if I ain't got the guts to tell you and show you, I'm not much of a pastor to you. It takes God for us to get along. I know there are circumstances to separate. I know that. I don't belittle that. But it's way too easy to get out of I do. I think that the fifth thing that's coming against our home is trial marriages are shacking up. My hat goes off to a man that's here. He's on the sound of my voice today. In their former church, they would open up the doors, just open them every service, and nobody's talked with nobody. And then when you deal with things, you embarrass everybody. But I'm glad for some people that stand that saying marriage is still right and shacking up is wrong. Did you know there are statistics? There's a study revealed that couples who live together before marriage, listen to me, young people. A study's revealed that couples who live together before marriage get a divorce at a much higher rate than those who remain apart until their wedding day. A trial marriage is really just two people who want to enjoy a marital relationship but don't want the responsibilities that go with being married. You want to eat out of the garden, but you don't want to plant the garden. Comes responsibility with marriage. So she's quiet down into Liberty Baptist Church this morning. Trial marriage is shacking up, still wrong. Fornication ain't right. Adultery's wrong. It's in the Bible. God wrote it. I didn't write it. And you ain't going to have a liberal preacher that won't read it. We got to have God at this ministry. Sixthly, some of you are going to get mad right here. I'm preaching at my house. Greedy and non-essential lifestyles. With the help of the left-wing media and liberal politicians, they begin a movement to liberate women. Hang on with me. You that's been around me for 20 years, you know I'm all for the lady of the house. You listen to what don't turn me off. Listen to what I'm going to say. Their goal was to convince our society we'd be better off if our women were liberated. The truth is, their accomplishments have not liberated women, but rather have brought women into bondage. Into the ideas and principles which were supposed to have liberated them. Women today may be making more money, but look at the price they're paying for it. Many women have traded their companion and children for a career. Listen, mama, your babies ain't wanting you to have a career. They want you to be a mama. They've traded the respect that goes with being a lady for the rigorous schedule of a business world. Many have lost the joy of being a wife and a mother that go with the position. How we need to get back to the godly position of wife and motherhood, back to the position of respect and reverence which is given to the woman in God's Word. A lady's special. She don't belong in a foxhole with men. She don't belong in a fighter jet being shot at. You want to be liberated? Sound like to me that you got in shackles.
God puts you the highest position in the home. And you can only benefit when you're there. I know our culture, but you think, and you listen to me this way. My wife worked 34 years. I was pastor at that time. And this August, my wife will be out of public work for a year. Praise God. She's a new woman. You know what the devil told us? When she come home and told me she don't work there no more, the devil said, "You've had it now, boy." But you listen to me and you listen real well. I'm not bashing you ladies for working. I just want you to look at something just a minute. Do we really need 3 cars? Do we really need boats? Hey, you looking at a toy guy. I love it. Hunt, fish, golf, praise God, preach. I love it. But I wonder what my girls lost by their mama not being home. You say, "Preacher, it takes two to make it." I understand. I'm not making light of that. I know that. And I know that there are circumstances when a man's not making it. I know you've got to help. The Bible teaches you to help. The Bible showed the godly woman, she sold linen, dyed with purple, she contributed. I know that, but listen to me. Don't be too busy to be a mama. I don't think it's nothing wrong with you making extra income to help support a child. But sometimes you've got to reel yourself in and say, "Listen, we don't need 3 cars in the driveway." Well, preacher, what do we do? Be a mother. Be a daddy. They're counting on you. You know, one of my biggest regrets of being a father, and I'll just be real honest with you, we watched a movie here last night called Courageous. And a lot of you will laugh, but some of you, I could pull a gold Cadillac in your yard and you'd gripe about it. I could even have your driver to drive and you wouldn't be happy with nothing. You're going to have mully grubs. You're just down on everything. And I said, "I can't help you no way." Amen. Some of you act like somebody held a gun to get you to come to church. I got to go to church today. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. God's done showed me something last 2 weeks. But listen to me. My biggest regret, Brother Mike, if I've got one regret, my biggest regret I've got that I was not there for my girls. And I'm just being honest with the congregation this morning. "Preacher, what was you doing?" I was too busy. That's what I was doing. I was too busy. I can't be a dictator and tell you what to do at your house, but I can tell you what this Bible says. I want you to turn to it this morning. Turn, if you would, with me real quickly, real quickly. Let's go to Titus chapter number 2, verse number 1. Titus 2, verse number 1. Our homes lost something when our mothers left their babies. A lot of you are going to go home and bash your preacher about, "Well, preacher's home about working." No, I'm just preaching. Amen? I'm just preaching. Now watch what it says, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged women be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in love, and in patience." The older women now. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine." So preacher, we can drink a little. Let me move on. I ain't even got time for that statement today. "Teachers of good things." What happened there? Why couldn't we have some older ladies that would have a burden for young girls to show them something about homemaking out back? Why couldn't we have some older ladies that's burdened enough about young kids to teach them? that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, look to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Time out right there. I want to say something. You can work and still see about home. Just be careful that you don't get it out of bounds. Where's that at? I don't know. I don't live at your house. But I can tell you this, your kids need a mama. And your kids need a daddy. Watch this. I want the older women to teach the young women to be discreet. Not flaunting their self to other men. Chase. They ain't looking like somebody out of a magazine out yonder in the mall. If your dress ain't big enough to clean out a shotgun barrel, you ain't got enough dress on. Watch this. Obedient to their own husbands, not the man you're working with. That sorry devil will tell you anything. Oh, your husband don't love you. He don't listen to you. He don't love you. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptedness and gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Boy, greedy and non-essential lifestyles, we better be careful. What really matters is what I asked you. I'm glad our church families are doing well. I'm glad you're driving nice vehicles, living in nice houses. Let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you're going to be where I am one of these days, and it's going to be a price to pay that you wished you hadn't paid. My wife worked. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is the key. The Holy Ghost just give me something. Listen. My wife worked 34 years, but she was still mother to my babies. She knew where they was. She knew what they were doing. And she knew what they were wearing and what they were listening to. You don't send a 13-year-old girl to a camp out with boys. Are you goofy? Matter of fact, my wife made more money than I make. But let me tell you something. What I done found out. The devil's a liar all the time. Yesterday, there's a man crossed the road, brought us 6 ears of boiled corn, a bag of squash, got fresh tomatoes and meatloaf waiting on me to get there, and I'm preaching to you. Looks like I've missed a lot, don't it? I started a diet yesterday. Gone last. Some of you get on the program too. Boy, I'm really poor, ain't I? I've got more today than I've ever had in my life. I stood up and preached Thursday night in a way I ain't preached in a long time. Let me ask you something this morning. Well, what you've got in this church and in a ministry, can you put money on that? When your young'uns got saved by the grace of God, do you think any job you could ever have would be better than that? Whew, where'd this time go? The sodomite movement. It goes against the created order of our God. Satan has aimed a big gun at our homes today with the sodomite movement. The sodomites are neither gay nor right. I said sodomites are neither gay nor right. The same plague brought the judgment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's now promoted in our society today. Listen to me, young people. I want you to listen to your preacher right now. Just as God judged sodomy in the days of Lot, He will also judge it in this generation. This lifestyle is not an alternate lifestyle. It is not an alternate lifestyle. But it is an abominable lifestyle. It's not the way of life, it's the way of death. Listen to me. Homosexuality and lesbianism is not the way of life, it's the way of death. You say, why you say that? Because your school ain't preaching it, your preacher better. Is anybody glad you got a preacher this morning? We ain't hating nobody, we hating sin. Homosexuality is like the sin of drunkenness. The devil's hooked them and they can't get out by themselves. You see, this lifestyle is not a way of life, it's a way of death. Why do you say that? Homosexuals, only 1% die of old age. Compared to 73% of men in general who live to be 65 years or older. Lesbians, the median age of death is 45 compared to 79 for married women. It's not the way of life. It's the way of death. Leviticus 18:22. I'll be closing. Leviticus 18:22. I'll give you some Bible scripture. It's not only my conviction, it's the Word of God that it's wrong. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That word abomination means disgusting and abhorring. Homosexuality is disgusting and an abomination in the eyes of our God. Now I want to show you something. Romans 1, verse 27. Romans 1, New Testament, verse 27. Talk about homosexuality is the way of death, not life. Listen what the Word of God says. Here it is. I didn't see it till this morning. Romans 1, 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Time out. I know you're rambling. I'm not even going to give an altar call this morning. I know I done preached 45, 50 minutes, but I'm supposed to get the rest of this down you. I might not get it down you. I'm going to throw it to your table. Now, I want to tell you something. Your little boys ought to be goo-goo-eyed over little girls. That's where you've got to govern them and guide them. Now, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, natural, men and women, natural, and burned in their lust one toward a lust. It's sin, it's a lust. Watch, men with men working that which is unseemly, and here it is, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. You know why only 1% live to be old age? Because they're getting what they've asked for. You see what this book says? And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. It is a payday someday, young people. I've never seen a time when so many young girls was in love with each other. It's rampant. I hear even our schools in Bowdoin, Georgia, young girls holding hands and kissing in the hall. Listen, kids, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. You say, preacher, I don't. Let me tell you something. You better get you some guts. And you better realize this Bible ain't out of date. Jesus is coming. He said in the last days, perilous times shall come. You better be getting your kids on the sound of the gospel more than you ever have in all your life. They're facing more demons on this school crowd that's ever been turned loose in America. You know why? Because America's got to playing with demons. You see, watch this, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Go there. First Corinthians 6, 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That's a lifestyle. Nor adulterers, that's a lifestyle. Nor infeminate, that word has to do with feminine. homosexuality, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor watch this, nor drunkard. Isn't it amazing that sin of homosexuality is listed with all these other sins? Some of you think that they can't be restored and saved out of that. Well, you watch what your Bible says. Nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What? Look at verse number 11 now. Hang on a minute. And such were some of you. There's hope for anybody. I've got a picture on my phone. I wished you could see it. There was a man in Louisiana dressed as a woman. I got three pictures of how he come to the meeting. You couldn't have told him. And you ought to see before and now. It's amazing what our God... Listen, our God can do anything. If we can just get that and realize, Brother Vince, and Brother Lee, get back to praying that our God can do anything. I've been praying for Brother Luke tonight. It's his first time. I've been praying the power of God to be on this young man and God to use this. Listen, I'm getting old. I'm leaving out of this thing one of these days. I need somebody to stand up with a King James Bible and say, "What thus saith the Word of God?" And let me tell you what you need. You need to raise children to stay with them. Because your grandchildren are counting on it. Livy. Where's Livy? Come here, Livy. Hurry, Livy. Mila, come here, Mila. Come here. You two girls, come here. How old are you, Mila? How old are you, Livy? 5 and 7. Let me ask you something. What happens if I quit preaching? What happens if their mom and daddy quits coming to church? What happens? What happens? You think the school is going to teach them what I've taught you this morning? Mom and dad, it looked like to me you'd be wanting to get in a church that was trying to do right in these last days and serve Jesus more than you've ever served Him. Boy, I love children. How anybody could hurt babies, I'll never, never know. Matter of fact, I just love to watch them. Look how they smile at me. God, that's so encouraging to preach to people that smile at you. So encouraging. Why don't some of you put them smiles on? Go be seated, girls. Our home's under attack. Will you agree with that this morning? And this is what the devil will tell you, not my house. I went to the doctor. I preached here Sunday. I got home and I was hurting just like I just first had my surgery in my neck. I went to the doctor Monday. I walked in. I didn't want them to tell me what I wanted to hear. They told me what I needed to hear. They give me medicine. I had to start taking it Monday night. I'm better today. You know why I'm better? Because somebody told me the truth and they gave me a remedy. You know what your remedy is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I've changed my mind about it. I'll have to call me, Sheriff, you come. I won't say lastly, but certainly not leastly, is abortions. Human life is so sacred with God. Listen to me, abortion's not a woman dealing with her own body. It's her dealing with the baby of her body. Abortion brings great emotional distress and problems to the woman that will bother her the rest of her life. Forgiveness can heal the wound, but the scar will always remain. Boy, I wished I didn't have some scars I got, but I do. And you know what some of you need to chunk? Well, this happened to me when I was a child, and it's warped me. Let me tell you something. It may have affected you. And I don't belittle none of that, because I know it's so. That'll be in a sermon. But let me tell you, Jesus can do anything this morning. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. He can do something about it. Now, as my sister plays, I want to ask you this morning.
I just simply would ask you to do this. If you'd make your way down an altar today and pray for your home, daddies. Pray for your children. Pray for me as your pastor. That God would give us that exactly what we need. Would you move out of them pews this morning and be honest enough with God? Say, God, I need your help in my home. God, I can't do this by myself. I've got girls to raise. I've got boys to raise. God, I need you to help me.